Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
I'm going to dedicate this to the last song to the one and only Taylor fucking Hawkins. This is the last one. And the president of England, and he's a fucking joy. So, this is for you, brother.
It's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I'm joined today by our good friend, regular returning guest, Richard. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, mate. I'm a little bit hungover, to be honest, but I'm okay. Good. I'm very good, thank you. You may have seen from my social media posts, I saw the Mannix last night at the club before Bach. Apologies to Welsh listeners if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. Yeah, for the Six Music, the launch of the Six Music Festival. Pretty bit delicate, but still also buzzing.
Very cool. How many people does that hold?
200.
200, that's nuts.
Mad. Yeah, I was like 10 feet away from Mickey Wire and James D. Bradfield. Obviously, it was just like, I didn't give it much thought, because obviously I've never been there, so I can't really imagine it. And then when you're in there, like, oh, that's amazing. And then when they walk out and you're like, oh, shit. that's these people I've known for, you know, spent 25, 30 years loving, you know, 6 feet away. It was pretty special.
Well, that's mental. I mean, I know that they've not been as popular over the last few years, but 200 people at a club gig, I mean, that's really pretty bad.
it's a special show. So, like, you know, ballot to get tickets and all that sort of stuff. It's not quite the fall from grace that other bands may have had.
Yeah, other people from the Britpop era. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, there's loads to, we agreed to speak when Liam had done the comeback gig last week, and he'd, mm-hmm. you know, then the sort of crappy recordings were going around of the song Come On You Know. And so I thought it'd be good to sort of catch up with yourself to discuss that. Discuss the live return and also that song. But then obviously in the meantime, he's gone and released it, and it just released it at midnight last night. So, it's pretty, you know, it's one of those sort of whirlwind things that we sometimes seem to get from Liam, whose management seem to do things completely on the fly. Because then the other thing is they were recording a video last week for Better Days on a rooftop in Manchester. And so it's like, what's going on? But anyway, so it's been a busy old week in the world of Liam.
Yeah, was it? I didn't realise the video was for Better Days. I mean, I'd seen that. I just thought it was the next single. Was it actually confirmed that it was Better Days?
Yeah, well, and there's a couple of little bits, clips of audio going around from it. So one of which I'll drop in here. So as the people will have just heard, you can't really make it out. But yeah, it is for the song Better Days. So I assume that Better Days is going to be like the big single that has a video and the big push probably just before kind of Nebworth and stuff and the album coming out. And this is just sort of the little tick over song, like similar to Chinatown and The River as well. If you think about it. Both of those were sort of little tick-over songs, I think, before they then came back with, like, the next big single.
Mm. Yeah, although, I mean, specifically The River, I think The River was... It was just for Glastonbury, because he played Glastonbury. I think they wanted to kind of, showcase that. But that didn't get a video, did it? Chinatown did. So it wasn't kind of quasi-single. But, yeah, you're right. And it's obviously just along those lines, I suppose, as it's been played live as well. I guess it's... demands out there to hear it now, and it's just as you say, tick over song. I like it, I've got to say. I mean, it's very BDI, and that's not meant as an insult. The beat is the drums are like quite flick of the finger. It's got that kind of vibe. I think it's better, the recorded audio version is better than the live version we saw last week, which was a bit okay, but there's a lot more going on within the song that's better for, it's better to hear the production and the kind of twinkling effects and the studio work done to it than necessarily live, I think. But yeah, I'm quietly impressed. It's not perfect, and there's a few lyrical clangers on there, like Giz a Hug or whatever it is, and things like that, which leave a little to be desired. But it's good. It's good that he's trying something different. We've kind of long wanted, I personally kind of long wanted that, really, for him to at least tweak the format a little bit. So I know he said that this album's gonna be a bit weird with a couple of bangers. It's not cosmic pop, for example, or it's not Pink Floyd, but it's at least filling around with things, which is pleasing, I think, certainly for me.
Yeah, I think this is one of the weaker things he's released, personally. I think it's like, this to me is the perfect example of why I'm very happy for him to work with songwriters, because this to me, you can feel it's a Liam song. I mean, it is credited 100% to Liam. It feels like, I think someone in, I think it was in the Discord, someone said, it feels like an AI generator. Where you've just put in the lyrics and chords and melodies of like Liam Gallagher songs, and this is what's come out. It really does feel a bit, and having done a parody episode recently, it does feel a bit like a, you've paid someone, come up with a Liam Gallagher song. All right, fine. I think it's pretty weak. It's catchy enough. Like, I think it's coming home again is quite a nice refrain. And I wonder actually if it's going to tie in with whether officially or unofficially, obviously he's an Ireland supporter, but whether it might tie in with the World Cup, because you can imagine it playing over, over highlights of England, winning in a group game or something. I think it's coming home again. And so I think that could be the case. But no, I was very underwhelmed by it when we heard it live. I think it's well produced, and I think it's like a pretty poor song. And I can imagine he's handed it over to Andrew Wyatt. It's like they've handed this song going, like, okay, Right. Let's see what we can make with this. The one point where I went like, oh, wow, is when the female like gospel vocals come in a couple of times and you go, oh, cool. But then it goes away again. You're like, oh, okay.
Sick of acting like I'm tough. Come on, baby, give a hug. Come on, you know. Freedom. I can feel it everywhere. So get your hands up in the
You know, and I think if that had been a bigger part of the song, I would have really liked it. It has that kind of breakdown section in the middle, which is, you know, which is interesting and twinkly and interesting sort of sounds going on. But the key thing for me that I don't like is it's got that like dun, 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 drum beat that's sort of similar to Mucky Fingers, or a few BDI songs have got that. Dun, 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 dun. And that to me feels like the intro of a song, and then it's like then you want it to go, you know, and then it kicks in and then there's the groove, you know, but it's just like dun, 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 all the way through, and so you're like, okay, so I'm always waiting for it to kick off, but it never does, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, and I didn't know what you mean about the parody thing. I listened to it last night, I listened to it a couple of times last night when I was half cut. And I was a bit like my initial, I was a little bit more in my head. I was like, yeah, this is actually like a parody. Like it is a bit, it's very, yeah, as you say, if someone had to write a generic Liam Gallagher song, it would be that. But I'd say it's got enough in it to keep it kind of interesting for me, I think. But I have changed my opinion every time I've listened to it. So the first time I listened to it, I was like, yeah, it's all right. Second time, I was like, this is not acceptable. Next time, I'm like, oh, it's pretty good. Next time, at the moment, I'm on it's good with it. I think. It's another thing. I imagine that it's probably not a good choice of song to be taken out of context. Hopefully, once again, if the album is as trippy and as different as making out, it might sit well within surrounded by the other songs. Do you know what I mean? To kind of to be part of the vibe and the flow of the album. But I mean, that is basically speculation, obviously. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I suppose it does veer into parody a little bit much. And I hate to make this point because, you know, it's been 13 years, but you kind of look at the lyrics and you're like, there's no inspiration there. Do you know what I mean? There's just even some of the lines, like you could just imagine, what's the line about give it a little while or something will be away a short while? You could just, Noel would twist that, you know, to something else. You know, you keep the flow of the melody and keep the scanning, but it would just be a little bit more inspirational.
Yeah.
A little bit more interesting, and yeah, and I know he's, you know, I know Liam's not a lyricist and wouldn't say that he is, but just little things like that kind of, I don't know, make you realize what you miss, I guess.
Get up, stand up if you feel alive. I only want to see you smile.
Yeah, no, it's not good enough. I mean, the lyrics aren't good enough. It's only that it's Liam that we give it a pass. I mean, let's be honest, you know, and it's like a lovely message. But if this was like a new band and someone was like, oh, James, you know, can you interview this new band for your podcast? And they played me this, I'd be like, you know, it's a decent enough song, but those lyrics are bad. Go away and work on those lyrics. You know what I mean? You know, I actually like I'm Sick of Acting Like I'm Tough. Come on, baby, giz a hug. I actually like that one. That's one of the ones that made me smile. But it's everything else. Like everything else is it's going to be all right. OK, what do you rhyme that with? Dance all night. OK, if you feel alive, see you smile. You know, beautiful people come out to play. Brothers and sisters, it's time. This is what the worst one. Let's start living. Be thankful and giving. I mean, that's like a hymn, you know, and that's like not even like a good hymn. That's like a crappy primary school hymn to me. Be thankful and giving. You know, I don't know. That's not that's just not good enough, really, is it? That's the thing. If it wasn't for the fact it's Liam, there's no way that any A&R man would go, oh yeah, brilliant. That's a great song. Let's sign this band or this artist. So no. And I was looking back through his catalogue and it's like, I think it's the I've not loved everything he's done, you know, and some of the stuff he's done, I've been like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, decent. But I think it's, as I say, I think it's the most underwhelmed I've been by, especially by a single, you know, some of the album tracks, he's sort of, oh, okay, yeah, cool. You know, it sort of passed me by. But yeah, sort of to have that build up and then this come out, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and it's for me, like I said earlier, I would much rather have an album of songs written by Andrew Wyatt or Greg Kurstin or even Ashcroft and, you know, like the real people or, you know, whoever, Diggsy, you know, go and work with someone else, you know, rather than, it, you know, people go on about the whole songwriter thing. Oh, no, it only means something if you write your own songs. I think that's bollocks. I think it's absolutely fine. Like we always say, Elvis never wrote a song. Sinatra never wrote a song. No problem. Just sing other people's songs if they're good. Don't write, you know, don't do your own songs if they're not good. And it's just not a good song to me. But anyway.
I was thinking this. I didn't actually, again, when I first listened to it, I didn't realise it was a Liam composition. I was kind of, one of my thoughts last night was, has Liam just come up with a title and then people have written for it? Do you know what I mean? Liam, you know, come on, you know, and everyone's go, right, okay, let's try and write, make a song out of that. And you similarly, I suppose there's nothing to say that that wasn't Liam's intention when he actually did it, but I mean, because that's been his, you know, one of his, don't say catchphrases, but you know, taglines for a good few years.
Yeah.
Maybe he's gone, oh, I could write a song around that. I know what you're saying with regards to the kind of the other songwriters thing. Like I say, it's the lyrics that are a bit naff me. I think we could. I don't know. Necessarily would have hurt to do some adjustments. But you know, he to bring someone in to tweak some of the lyrics. But you know, he goes for a timeless universal style, doesn't he? You know, it might look a bit naff now, but in 5 years, you know, it won't seem any less incongruous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I was just having a look. It's actually third on the album. So the album goes More Power, Diamond in the Dark, Don't Go Halfway, then Come On, You Know. So it's like fourth. So I was thinking, you know, like I was saying, it feels like the start of a song, but it never kicks in. I was thinking if it was like the first track, then that's cool. Because it's like, here's our little intro to the album. And then we kick in with something that's got a real, a kick to it. But then, yeah, coming fourth, I'm like, well, that's a funny place for it as well with a song like that. But anyway, and look, and we've got Better Days is 11th as well, so I'm thinking that's sort of, you know, near the end of the album, you know, that's I think that's going to be the big one, the once sort of for what it's worth, I think. And the fact they've done the video for it on a rooftop is sort of, you know, that I think is going to be the key one, and this is sort of a placeholder, but yeah, given the choice, I wouldn't have I wouldn't have put this out.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
But there you go.
I heard talk that Moscow Rules was supposed to be the next single prior to Better Days. I had talk it was unconfirmed, but I guess given the current state of affairs, that might not have been a too good look. And I suppose it's just a title. There's no reason why it would get dumped, it would get cut from the album. But you've seen it happen, haven't you? Something like that would get completely ditched. Completely, yeah. But it's obviously just a title. I'm sure it's not about the present situation in Ukraine.
Yeah. Oh dear. Go on, Vladimir. Go and invade the neighbouring countries. You know, Moscow rules. No, let's hope not. What was I going to say? So yeah, then the Liam gig, the Cancer Trust Royal Albert Hall. I know you weren't there. We've got a couple of reviews from people that were that I'll be dropping in. But yeah, I did watch it live on a live stream. So well done to the people of Instagram that live streamed it. Like I said on the Twitter, I think, you know, when I'm at a gig, whenever anyone's got their phone out, I'm like, oh, put your phone away, be in the moment. And then when I'm watching it at home live streaming, I'm like, thank God for that person who's got his phone.
I did a few videos in the gig last night, and I've had a few people like comment and say, God, all the phones at a gig, eh? I'm like, what do you think I was doing?
I know it is bizarre, but yeah, I mean, I thought they played well, and they were down a man because Jay Mailer was ill, so Boned was there basically doing rhythm guitar for the whole show, and they had to sort of obviously step up. I didn't tell any difference at all. I know some people have actually commented like, well, they think it was better because Jay Mailer, like the more guitar techie savvy people, like that Jay Mailer's not actually that great as a lead guitarist, so actually not having him there helped the sound, which, to be honest, I couldn't really tell on the crappy live stream. I just didn't think it sounded worse or, you know, lacking because of having one man down. And obviously when you've got Boned coming in to be, you know, rhythm guitar the whole way, that's fantastic. But yeah, as I say, the only real standout moments were for me hearing the Come On You Know, and then the fact that they brought back the BDI tune, Bring the Light, which I thought was a real nice addition to the set, because it's another upbeat, rocky one that you can groove to. Whereas when they brought back Soul Love, it was like, you know, it's a good song, but it's like a mid-tempo one. You know what I mean? If you're going to fill the set with mid-tempo songs, I'd rather they were big Oasis mid-tempo songs that everyone sings along to. And if you're going to put BDI songs in there, why not be the more upbeat, bouncy ones? Because then you can groove along to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agreed. There's some BDI kind of slower ones. I mean, Wigwam, I love that one. I quite like that to be in there. Don't Brother Me as well. I mean, I don't think they ever played. Did they play that live? I don't remember. They definitely played Wigwam though. I'd like for those to be in. But yeah, I broadly take your point. It was, and it's nice that BDI isn't being completely erased from history. You know, as you say, he's done Soul Love occasionally. But, you know, it'd be nice to see him mine that a little bit more. And dare I say it, and this is probably blasphemy, but, you know, it might be nice to go to a gig where there's not so much Oasis and maybe a little bit more BDI in his solo stuff. Obviously, that's not going to happen. I've only watched a few snippets myself. I didn't watch the gig because I was out, as you know, hence why I couldn't make Friday's call either. Yeah, it seems very much. I mean, it's a charity gig, obviously, so you know, there's never going to be a whole tranche of new stuff, and it's never going to be too much. It was, yeah, a well judged set from what I could see, because what was Stand By Me was there, wasn't it? And yeah, Columbia there.
Yeah, Columbia was there. I went for a cup of tea at that point.
But yeah, it looked great. I mean, yeah, the Albert Hall's such a good venue as well that. No disrespect to Liam, etc., but it's almost impossible to look bad there because the acoustics are so good. Yeah, looked like a great night, looked like a great set. Yeah, I don't have not much more to say, to be honest.
No, but like we said before, isn't it? He's pretty much the same as the previous tours. He's not really moved it on, other than Bring the Light coming in and that other new one. Obviously, Everything's Electric. Was in the set as well, but yeah, all good. The other thing I was going to talk to you about, and it did come up at the Liam gig, was the Taylor Hawkins situation. So, you know, Taylor Hawkins, if people living under a rock and don't know, or maybe they were just sort of, you know, been obsessed with Will Smith slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars and missed it, but yeah, Taylor Hawkins, drummer from the Foo Fighters, sadly died this week from you know, heart problems, potentially drug induced, we don't know. But anyway, that doesn't really matter. The point is, it's very sad. You know, a very talented musician, brilliant drummer. I'm not a huge Foo Fighters fan. I mean, I was going through and listening to quite a bit of Foo Fighters in the last sort of week or so. And I think Foo Fighters is one of those bands to me where, you know, my best of the Foo Fighters is a brilliant album. But beyond that, I'm like, yeah, I can take or leave. You know, I'm sort of, you know, pretty good. And also Taylor's album, that, you know, a lot of the interviews he did a couple of years ago where there was a bit of banter with the Gallagher brothers was around the release of his album, which I thought once again was really good. And there was all that chat about the Liam really liking the song Range Rover Bitch and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, what's your thoughts on Taylor and the Gallagher run-ins?
I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, first of all, it's just so sad, isn't it? You know, that you could tell by the variety of tributes that were coming out, well, sorry, not even necessarily the variety, the sheer breadth of tributes that were coming out or have come out in the last week. Like, he was just seemingly just a really, really nice bloke, you know, just a nice guy. I mean, you know, Dave Grohl is notoriously the nicest man in rock, TM. But it's just so tragic, it's just so sad. Like you, I'm not the biggest Foo Fighters fan. I know, and I think I've got all their albums and I'm familiar with it, but I am, yeah, quite take it or leave it. Like, singles, amazing. You know, I'd say as good a singles band, one of the strongest singles band out there. But the albums, you kind of like, I mean, it's basically been the same album for the last 20 years, arguably more, really. For all the kind of guff, all the PR that comes out that Dave Grohl says, oh, we've done this, we've done that. It's kind of like, yeah, it still sounds like Foo Fighters. Which is, you know, it's no bad thing. You know, it does the job, and there's some undeniably great songs. And yeah, I think Taylor Hawkins himself was clearly, you know, a superb drummer, you know, and one of the few, you know, that would sing. You know, he would, when they covered various Queen songs, I forget which ones exactly, you know, Queen.
Somebody to Love is the big one, yeah.
Okay.
Taylor Hawkins on the drums tonight. Look at that motherfucker. Taylor,
David,
listen.
Yes.
Dan, light him up. Let me see all the people right now. See? They love you, man.
Feel it.
Okay. Here's the thing. Taylor Hawkins, best fucking drummer in the world. Okay. Taylor Hawkins, best fucking singer in the world. Taylor Hawkins gonna come down and sing a song for you tonight.
That was awesome, Samira.
Everybody dance now.
You guys want to hear Dave Grohl play the fucking drums? The best part about getting to be the lead singer of the Foo Fighters just for one song is I really do have the greatest rock and roll drummer on the planet Earth to play drums for me.
You're not gonna get fired.
He ain't cheap. He ain't cheap, but he's worth it. gonna get your solo, don't you fucking worry. Dave Grohl. I'm not gonna do that to you anymore. You wanna play a Queen song, Dave? No? Oh, there it is.
You know, he would do the singing. I saw them. I've seen Foo Fighters a couple of times at festivals, and you are always like, that is a pretty special drummer, and it's, you know, they're a hard rocking band, as it were.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of the Gallagher links, I mean, the one that always sticks out for me is when it was the weekend As You Were came out. I think actually, Liam joined them on stage. I think they're in South America. Came out, and he was obviously bladdered. And came out on stage and started crowd surfing. That's always always kind of sticks in my head. And then you had, obviously, I don't remember the gig, but Taylor had Liam and Noel on his bass drum.
Yeah.
And then Dave Grohl was like, we want to start a petition to get Oasis back together. What, as nice as that was, because they were obviously, you know, they were big Oasis fans, or they are big Oasis fans. Well, Dave Grohl is. I just remember Noel's reaction going like, well, why isn't Dave Grohl mind his own fucking business?
Yeah.
I thought
yeah. No, absolutely. So that was at Reading. And then... And then Noel had this reaction on stage.
Are you going to sign the petition? Okay, well, you can, if the fucking drummer from Nirvana wants to get Oasis back together, he can come up on stage and suck my fucking dick anytime he wants. I hereby start a petition to fucking up the Foo Fighters split up. Anybody's free to fucking sign it.
And then, and then when Taylor Hawkins, like I said, he came over and did a couple of interviews where he sort of commented on that, one with Absolute Radio, one with X, Radio X. And so we'll drop in a little bit here.
Taylor Hawkins is in the room right now wearing pretty green, and a picture of Liam Gallagher has just flashed up on the wall because we'll be playing that shortly.
He's my mate.
He's your pal, isn't he?
He's my bro.
Which is slightly tricky because...
I love him.
And then
you guys said you guys are on the Noel Gallagher side here. I'm over here.
Yeah, I think we both are. Yeah, I mean, we're firmly in other.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. That
I'm thing. Not.
Oh.
At all.
Hold on.
The opposite.
Right.
So we played the Reading Festival, and I had a picture of the Gallagher brothers on my kick drum head.
Yeah.
Because I just put pictures of people on my...
Yeah.
I'll put Dave's face, or I'll put Roger Taylor's face, or I'll put, like, you know, one of my kids' faces. I like to have fun with my kick drum head. It's like an advertising spot. And I had the Oasis brothers. I had the Gallagher brothers up on my kick drum head. And I was like, we're playing the Reading Festival. It makes sense, you know? And then I went up front to sing a song, and Dave went back to the drums. And I looked back at my kick drum head, and I said, ah... Isn't it great to have the Gallagher brothers back together again? And then I said, let's all sign a petition to get Oasis to do a show again. Out of love of their music.
Yeah.
Nothing else. So Noel Gallagher, who was opening up for the Smashing Pumpkins in America at that time, goes, first night he goes, I say we start a petition to get the Foo Fighters to break up. Okay, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny, actually. Whatever. And then the next night, he goes, if the drummer for Nirvana, now Noel, if you're hearing this, he didn't say it. I said it. Because if the drummer for Nirvana, he didn't even say Dave, you know, to make him sound like, you know, lower him, wants Oasis to get back together, he can come up on this stage right now and suck my you-know-what. But I'm hoping now that he will lighten up a little bit and come to his senses and get the good singer back for his band.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping. I just think that would be really nice, you know, because everybody wants to see that. And Liam's having a lot of success. I mean, he's doing two nights at the O2 Arena. Do you think that Potato Gallagher and the Low Charting Turds could do two nights at the O2 Arena? I mean, listen, I know that Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders might be able to, like, do the Scala.
Right.
If we're lucky. I know my lane. I know my lane. I stay in my lane. Yeah. I know when I'm going to play a stadium, it's going to be because Dave Grohl's up front.
Right,
I know that. I know that. But no, he was really mean. He was really a jerk.
See, when Noel does this stuff, right, I always remind people that he doesn't like the Beach Boys. You know, he can just be sharp-tongued sometimes.
Liam's just as sharp-tongued.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, Liam's brutal, actually funnier than Noel, I think. I meant nothing by it, by putting the Oasis brothers up there. I mean, and I meant nothing by saying, but I was just like saying what everybody wants to say.
Yeah.
Someday, and they will do it someday because the money will just be too good.
what's the figure?
But you know, Noel's also the guy who wrote all the songs, so he's the one that's got all the money.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, all the other cats, they got to work, man. You know, half the reason I'm still in the Foo Fighters because Dave knows I need to make a living. He could have got someone better a long time ago, and. You know, Noel fired everyone eventually from Oasis and then eventually just broke it up, you know? But whatever. I don't care. He's a jerk.
Oh.
Sorry you guys like him. I'm Team Liam all the way.
Oh, well, you know what? It's Team Noel and that's life, but we're all friends here. We're all friends here.
There we go. So there he was talking about, you know, the love for Liam. You know, even buying Pretty Green Jacket, which was, And obviously he didn't particularly like Noel at that time, but, you know, understandable if Noel had been a bit of a dick to them. Then the last bit, which I'll drop in here, is this clip when Dave Grohl was interviewed by Lars Ulrich for this Apple show or Beats show. And then they have this discussion about, Liam going to see them before they go on stage at Glastonbury. And the fact that he really loved the song Range Rover Bitch.
I mean...
You're bringing Liam Gallagher to the U.S.
Well, you know what was really funny before at Glastonbury?
When he came into the dressing room, right?
Okay, so the Glastonbury Festival in England is a fucking big deal, right?
The biggest deal.
Well, I guess, but like, I didn't realize. I thought like, well, we've done Reading before. This will be easy or whatever. And so everybody, like when we do interviews, they're like, this is the pinnacle of your career. How does it feel? And we're like, killer, I guess. I mean, really? Is it the fucking, are we getting knighted? Like, what the hell? They're like, you're headlining Glastonbury. What do you think about that? I'm like, it's going to be kick ass, I guess. What's fucking going on, you know? And so Taylor was really nervous. I don't really get that nervous anymore. I just go like, and it's all good. And so... Taylor's kind of
have another beer and relax.
I mean, why not? Taylor's all freaked out. He's like, dude, I'm getting kind of nervous about this Glastonbury thing. I'm just making it sound like it's like a fucking huge deal.
Dude, I should have warmed him up a little bit. I'm fucking like giving him a massage.
Yeah,
or something.
Give him some of that Metallica shit, man. Squish on him. Loosen him
Metallica
up.
Geritol.
Get some of the fucking, get him all veely. And so, he's all nervous and shit. Like, whew, I could see him. And then Liam walks in. And he's like, all right. We're like, hey, man, how's it going? And we all love Oasis, and we love Liam and Noel, too. And so he walks in, and he walks right up to Taylor. Taylor made this solo record last year or something like that. It had this song called Range Rover Bitch on it.
So he plays like all the instruments and does
Taylor
like,
does all the instruments and shit. You got to see the video for this song, dude. It's one of the funniest things.
Range
you've
Rover
ever,
bitch.
Range Rover bitch. You have to see. I mean, the song's super fun. No, and
note to self. Okay.
I'm telling you, the video, you will laugh your fucking ass off. It's insane. Anyway, so Liam comes. He's like, "Are they?" And he fucking he turns straight to Taylor and he goes, "Range Rover bitch, man. That's the fucking shit." And Taylor's like, "Huh?" And he goes, and then he starts fucking. Liam
so he
starts
went to,
singing.
He went to Taylor first.
Oh, absolutely. He starts singing all the words to Taylor. Right, like he knows fucking, all like, the fucking lyrics. Yeah. And we're
one
just
one
like,
inch away from his face, right?
We're like, is this even fucking happening right now? And he turns to me. He's like, "Your stuff's all right, you know, but fucking Range Rover bitch, man." And it was amazing because I swear to God, it's one of the reasons why the show was so good is because Taylor just went, "Yeah." And then he was fine.
So, yeah, and I just love, I think that just shows Liam in a really lovely light that, you know, we've heard that this is something he does. He will walk up to people and sing a song in their face, you know, which is just a cool thing that, you know, not many people will do, just randomly sing at people. I mean, I do it, but that's just because I'm an idiot. But yeah, I mean, and I just think that's lovely that Liam did that. He maybe clocked that Taylor was nervous and he's gone and bloody sang his song into his face, you know. You know, that's not the actions of a cool, aloof rock star who's probably wants to big up his own stuff. You know what I mean? I just think that's great.
Yeah, completely agreed. And yeah, it seems very genuine. You know, you knew, obviously, as soon as the news came out on Saturday morning, you were like, well, we know what Liam's dedicating Live Forever for the gig. But yeah, it genuinely seemed like they're quite, yeah, obviously, Liam's relationship with Dave Grohl is very recent. From what I can ascertain, you know, it's quite a recent thing, I guess, because of Liam's association with American songwriters now. It seems to be a bit more recent thing. But I suppose, actually, it's probably not, because remember, Foo Fighters supported Oasis, well, supported, they were on the same bill as Oasis and Razorlight at the Millennium Stadium in 2005. So I suppose they've obviously known each other, and you know, obviously before that, it would have kind of been knocking around festivals and what have you, and would have known them for quite a long time. But genuinely, yeah, it did seem like a kind of genuine friendship. And as you say, you know, it's Liam's little nice touches like that will obviously mean the world to people like Taylor Hawkins and Dave Grohl, who are fans. Yeah, I mean, it's just, like I say, it's just so sad.
Yeah, really sad. He had wife and young kids as well, which is really awful. But there we go. You know, what was it? There's some horrible people walk this earth, and yet good people like Taylor Hawkins no longer do. So RIP Taylor.
No, using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy. Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
All right, one more news item actually that's not been discussed on here is that I just remembered off the top of my head is that with no prompting from Richard is that Down by the River Thames is getting a release finally, but once again, like I was saying earlier about Liam's marketing kind of people, it's not going to be the video, but it's not coming out on a DVD, Blu-ray, or even like a download video option or streaming on Amazon, or you know, as far as we know, all they've released so far, all they're saying is coming out is the record. So I mean, it's cool and it'd be a nice one for the collectors to get hold of. It's gonna stop the bootleg trade in the, because I know there's been a few bootlegs of it kicking around. But yeah, and it's coming out on the same day as Come On You Know. I thought that was a bit of a weird choice and a bit of a sort of an afterthought, I think.
Yeah, he's a weird one. Like, it could either be that they want to go for an unprecedented Liam has number one and number two in the album charts. Or it could be, and I don't know why this would be the case, but it could be because obviously they're selling it in bundles with Come On You Know, bolster its chances to get to number one. I mean, I'm sure it will smash that, but maybe just add an added boost to that. But yeah, there's obviously a marketing reason for it, which we're not privy to. But yeah, it's proper stable door situation, really. I mean, the bootleg came out almost immediately after the gig. The vinyl bootleg has been openly available for about a year. I know there was talk. I think it was supposed to happen last year, but it got pulled for some reason. But I think even so much as there being a listing on Amazon for it, I think.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so I don't quite know what happened there. But yeah, it would make some more sense to release. Well, it would make sense to release the video, DVD, Blu-ray of it, whatever. Maybe they'll save that to near Christmas. Yeah, the timing is curious, definitely.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I mean, with the amount of sort of streaming deals with, you know, Netflix and Amazon and everything, you would wonder if they might do some sort of, you know, streaming deal first so it goes on Amazon or Netflix or Apple or something for like 3 months and then it sort of is available as a DVD after that, because you know, but then as I said, it's just a weird one, isn't it? It was done through, like, I can't remember the name of the company now, but it was like a weird sort of streaming thing that you had to physically download and set up. So yeah, I mean, maybe it's like they're waiting for that the deal with that to expire after a year or something, I don't know, but yeah, it's just some does seem a bit strange. I mean, but then, you know, like they do tend to kind of, spoon these things out. So it's like, okay, they get the money from the vinyl sale. Yeah, they got the money from the live watch. Okay. And then they get the money from the vinyl sale. Okay. And then they'll get the money from the DVD. Whereas I suppose if they all came out together, you'd sort of go, no, okay, I won't bother, you know, watching it because I'll wait for the DVD. You know, or whatever, but or if the DVD was announced, and I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't buy the vinyl because they just think, well, I'll just get the DVD. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I think I'm sure there's a method to the madness. You know, the guru does know what she's doing, but it does feel that sometimes there's a, you know, strange order to these things.
See, they've announced more network tickets today as well.
Yeah, I just saw that. So I mean, we knew it was going to be 80,000 sort of, because there was a lot of chat, you know, of how much is it going to be, because obviously Oasis did 120 and could that be feasible to do 120. I haven't read why. I mean, the only thing I thought is maybe with COVID restrictions when they announced it that they were limited to say 80, but now with, you know, with the COVID restrictions haven't been fully removed, that maybe they've sort of said, all right, let's go to 90, free up a bit more space or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe practicality as well. Maybe they're much closer to the actual setting up of the gig. Maybe they're kind of a little bit, now they're actually looking at the, you know, how it's actually going to function and what it will actually look like. Maybe going, actually, we've got a bit more space here. You know, we kind of, as you say, maybe with COVID as well, erred on the side of caution to do 80, but maybe they're now like, yeah, actually, this could be quite a lot. Or people might have handed their tickets back because they might realize, oh, it's Bank Holiday weekend, it's a Jubilee weekend, you know, might have had other plans possibly.
Yeah, or they did that thing, didn't they, where when they, because they announced Nebworth first and then they announced like Main Road and Glasgow and everything, and so it might just be that yeah, they've now got a load more tickets because a lot of those people swapped their tickets for the other shows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, well, we shall see. I'll be there. You won't, because you're at, what, Benicassim, aren't you?
Primavera. Yeah,
Primavera, that's it. That's it. Yeah, yeah. Which is, so,
I mean, you know, I'll it's an acceptable substitute. And once again, you know, if the choice, if I had to choose, not my want to choose, but if it was Liam at Nedworth or Noel at Glastonbury, followed by Paul McCartney, with a possibility that Noel might come on stage with Macca, I know which one I'll take.
Bloody hell. That is going to be special, isn't it? Imagine he comes on stage with him. That would be great. Oh, dear. We've got a fun summer ahead of us, mate.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Cool. Good. Anything else?
No, sorry. Yeah, I think I'm done now. Sorry to keep sorry.
No, well, thank you. You've sort of mopped up a few other bits that I've sort of, you know, while we've been doing our parodies and our sort of catch-ups with Nico and other people. So I've sort of, yeah, these bits come and I think, oh, I must talk about that. But then the news doesn't come around for another week. But yeah, brilliant. So we are on top of everything. Good. Anyway, so I think that will do us. What have you got? So you've had a few projects on. So you've been writing, you always written for Live Forever, but then you've been writing for another website as well, right?
Yes. So yeah, at the start of the year, I started writing for Gigwise, who I managed to get the, last night's Manix gig was an assignment with them. My news resolution was effectively to just get more stuff out and kind of up it. I mean, my priority is always Live Forever because they've been very good to me. And, you know, I never fail to get gigs. Well, rarely fail to get gigs when I ask with them. Gigwise is a bit more London focused. Obviously, I don't live in London. But Gigwise seems to get better opportunities or more opportunities for things. You know, last night being a prime example. And, you know, there's a lot of things that come through. It's like next week, Interpol are doing an album launch event. And they were kind of, offered a spot for that. Can't make it, but so on and so forth. But yeah, it's just kind of just wanted to just broaden things out, really, interview more bands, interview more people, and yeah, just keep pushing myself out there to down people's throats, really. as well as that, I've got, I'm in the final straight of my latest book for Modern Music Masters, which is going to be on the Arctic Monkeys, which has been very fun, actually. I've absolutely loved kind of immersing myself or re-immersing myself in them. That will probably come out end of April. I think it'll be announced. I've got the cover, so it'll probably be announced in the next couple of weeks. And that's been amazing. There's a couple more things on the go with them. Just keep myself busy, really. It's becoming a lot more of a job. Even though I don't get paid for it, it's becoming a lot more of a job, which is good, you know, which is kind of where I want to be. And there's always, what I enjoy about doing it is every day bring something new and exciting, whether it's an option to, you know, review a new album. Like I've got, what have I got on the go at the minute? I've got Jack White's new album to review, Spiritualized new album to review, Brits and Pieces compilation, that's next up. It's just, yeah, even that's exciting. Then when you get like things like, oh, do you want to interview this person? Hell yeah. There was talk actually of interviewing the Manix, but it didn't happen. But in a way, I'm glad it didn't, because that would have been in face to face in real life as well. But I think that might have been too much for me, to be honest.
You just crumbled. What's your favourite biscuit?
Yeah, to use a modern parlance, I think the squee would have been too much. But opportunities like that are kind of coming my way. I say both with Live Forever and Gigwise, and yeah, it's amazing. But absolutely loving it.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, just if you get Liam or Noel, then then you are smuggling me in your briefcase, because we can't let that go by. So yeah, good. All right, brilliant. Well, good to speak to you. We will catch up again very soon, and just remind the kids where they can find you online.
RB Music Writer is my Twitter and Instagram handle, and I've also got my website, www.richardbowes.com, B-O-W-E-S.
Wow, you got the name. You are the number one. Cool. All right, mate, good to catch up. Speak to you soon.
Probably alright, but under these lights you look beautiful, and I'm struggling. I can't see through your face. So thank you very much to Richard. Really good to catch up with him again. There's no one better to discuss the news of Gallagher stuff and Oasis stuff. So yeah, always really appreciate his time. One thing we did forget to discuss was the Everything's Electric Rack Studios version, which is now on Spotify, which I thought was good. Not a huge amount to say about it because we talked about the Jimmy Fallon performance, and I'm pretty sure, 99% sure, it's the audio from that recording. So, you know, I talked about that last week. I think it's good. I think it's a more raw version, which I quite like because the proper version is very, very well produced, but a bit overproduced, I think. So, yeah, so that raw version I quite like. I think Liam sings it well. I think the backing vocals work really well. So, yeah, all in all, I think that's good and it's nice to have. Your fake cuddle called out, got your tongue tied. Your best chance of success, got you denied now. You thought I wanna know. I don't hate you, but I despise that feeling. There's nothing left for me here. You won't know if you don't go. Superficial feelings, it's hard to take it easy. Going back to Liam's live show this week, we had a review come in from Mark Nolden. So let's have a listen to that.
Hi, James. Mark from Twitter here. So 20 years of the Teenage Cancer Trust gigs and Liam's third appearance at the Royal Albert Hall following Oasis and BDI. And this was a bit of a special one. Been a good couple of years because of the pandemic since those gigs have actually taken place. And it's also therefore been a couple of years since Liam's been out on the road properly. And my goodness, his voice is back. I remember being at Brixton on the first solo tour and thought that his voice was great. I mean, it really recovered for a few years off. It's just getting better, which is absolutely phenomenal. So Teenage Cancer Trust, you know, a charity that's very close to Liam's heart. He's done lots and lots of work with them. Other gigs on various tours have been fundraising events. So it's nice that he's still supporting it 20 years later. A couple of words on the support acts. We had Rats and Kid Capici. Not bands that I knew, but really good choices. And nice that young bands get in the chance to perform in a venue like the Albert Hall. Liam was on stage just before 9:30. And what was immediately obvious was that Jay was missing. Now, nothing had been mentioned about this in advance, but Liam told us that he'd unfortunately come down with COVID. And then they said that they'd had to make some changes to the arrangements of the songs. So that was going to be interesting because this will probably end up being quite a unique gig just because of those arrangements. Have to give a massive shout out to Bonehead. Just looking back at some of the previous set lists from the last main tour, you know, and Bonehead was playing on the Oasis tunes, didn't really play on many of Liam's solo stuff. This time he took absolutely everything. Now, I don't know how much time he had to prepare for it, but my goodness me, what a brilliant job he did. And Greedy Soul in particular. The volume that he put through that, I've never heard it played quite so loud and quite so aggressively. Bonehead was absolutely brilliant. The other thing that was different in the sound was that they used a lot more piano just to carry the songs through, and you can therefore see the impact that Jay has in the band. And that led to some slightly different things to normal. Kind of a piano driving underneath Slide Away and a piano driving underneath Rock and Roll Star. Never heard that before, probably won't hear it again, but really, really good. Which kind of links into probably the big surprise of the set, which was Bring the Light by BDI getting aired. Liam's not done that one solo before, but again, it was a real piano-led song with the way the band was set up last night. Absolutely fantastic. Really, really loved it. Stand By Me just became a huge communal hymn. Everything Electric was great. Really surprised to get a nice new song, Come On You Know. For me, it was a bit of Columbia and a little bit of Mucky Fingers together. And it's kind of got that lyric that's sort of familiar from Some Might Say. It's that, you know, we will find a brighter day. There's good times ahead. You know, it's a classic Liam uplifting kind of song. Last night was the sad news of Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters passing away. Someone that Liam clearly respected, clearly liked, and there's obviously the stories of the number of songs that Taylor has sent him to record. So maybe one day in the future as a tribute, we might actually get one of those recorded by Liam, which would be nice. Kind of predictably, we had Live Forever dedicated to Taylor, which was entirely the right thing to do. And you know, the drum kit was emblazoned with Taylor's name. It was, we had Taylor's image above the band on Live Forever. But unusually as well, we had a full band Live Forever. We didn't have the a cappella version that we had on Liam's first solo tour. We didn't have the acoustic version that he did at the Brits. It was nice to see the full band version. First time I've seen that as Liam's band. Supersonic was absolutely blistering, and then just finishing up with Wonderwall was fantastic. Not my favourite Oasis tune, not by a long way, but Liam asked for all the lights on the crowd to be lifted, and it just turned into a mass sing-along, everybody leaving, you know, in a great mood, a huge amount of money raised for charity, and just a brilliant, brilliant night. So the man is back. The new songs are going to be great. The voice is there. Roll on, Nedworth. Cheers.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Mark. Thanks for that. And anyone that's seen Liam or wants to chip in on any of the recent A to Z's that we've done or on the recent Liam releases, do always feel free to email over your thoughts, oasispod@gmail.com. It's always good to hear from you. All right, that will do us for today. Thank you very much for listening. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. There is a very special gift coming to the patrons very shortly. So if you're not a patron and you've been thinking about it for a while, then now would probably be a good time to sign up because, yeah, this special fifth anniversary special gift will be coming out probably in the next few weeks. So, yeah, definitely check that out. Give us a follow on social media, Oasis Podcast on Twitter and Facebook, and Oasis Pod on Instagram. Drop me an email if you want to talk to me. It'd be good to hear from you. And give us a follow on YouTube, all that stuff. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. We'll be back very shortly with the A to Z review of Falling Down with Will Buxton, and then the fifth year anniversary show, which is a Patreon phone-in that we did a week or so ago. So until next time, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.